A Sunday, as Daryl has said, so it's a reminder that the Lord Jesus, after he died on the cross and rose again with great power, he was with his disciples for 40 days. He was teaching them through those 40 days. Then he ascended up into heaven. And about a week later or so, he sent the Holy Spirit down to them. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. When I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And he did that on Pentecost Sunday. And the reason why he did that, he says in Acts, he says that you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you so that you'll be my, does anybody know the word? You'll be my witnesses in these ever-expanding concentric circles. From Jerusalem, the place where you are right now, or your, you know, your place of most familiarity and where you're most comfortable, into Judea and Samaria, people who are not like us, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Jesus sending out his people into all the world to be his witnesses. Now, it's interesting to me that witnesses simply tell what they've seen or heard or experienced. Is that true? If you're called to be a witness in a court of law, are you the judge? We're not the judge. And so we're not the judge. We're not to be passing judgment on people in the world, right? That's not our role. Are you the lawyer? Not the lawyer. So it's not for us to get involved in arguments and try to prove people are wrong and prove how right we are and this kind of thing. We're witnesses. We tell about what Jesus has done for us. So I've got three things real fast, and then we're going to look at the Word of God today. There are 3 points. One is that I think it's clear that people are really disappointed in religion. People in our culture, people around the world, are very disappointed with religion. So many wars have been fought over religion. Religion has been so divisive. In 1971, there was a song that was written by Don McLean. Some of you may know the song. Bye, bye, Miss America Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. You know what that song is about? Among other things, is this verse. I went down to the sacred store where I had heard the music years before. What would the sacred store be? Anybody? The church. I went to church, he says, where there was some life, some music, some joy, something beautiful happening. But the man there said the music would not play anymore. That is a crushing, crushing comment about the church, isn't it, in our society? He goes on to say, and the three men I admire the most, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they caught the last train down to the coast the day the music died. The world, looking at the church, figures that the music, the joy, the good news has died, is dead. They're kind of fed up with religion. So this is kind of the first point that I want to make, that people are disappointed with religion. The second point is this, that people are curious about why you're here this morning. What on earth are you doing here? Just look at the day out. You could be at the beach. You could go anywhere. You could go, what are you doing here? Or why are you online at home, you know? People are curious. Why do people have a religious faith? Why do people think of God, love God, talk about God, sing about God? People are curious. Lifeway Research, this is a very recent study, 2022, that of 1,000 North Americans, so it's not everybody, 60% of people who do not go to church and are unaffiliated to any religion are curious about people's religious devotion. 60%, over half the people living in your neighborhood are wondering, Why do you go to church Sunday morning? What's in it for you? What's that all about? And 60% of those who are curious say that their Christian friends rarely discuss their faith. So, I said to Ruth this morning, I don't want to guilt anybody this morning. You know how much guilt actually moves people to action? Like about zero. It just, you know, so I'm not a dancing pony. Just because you tell me to do something, I'm not going to do it. But what if Jesus is saying to us, I love the world so much. I just want you to be my light. I want you to shine out there for me. When you have the opportunity to just talk about your faith or say, oh yeah, I was at church. What did you do on the weekend? I went to church on Sunday. What? Why would you go to church? Maybe you'd have an answer. Well, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will be my witnesses in your world right where you are and ever expanding. So I gave you 2 points so far. People are disappointed with religion, number one. People are curious about faith, about a living faith, point two. Point three, we are sent. We are sent out into the world as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. This is where I want to read this text of scripture for you from the book of John, chapter 20. And this is the precursor to Pentecost. This is where Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit on his disciples. So where we are in the story is that Jesus has died and he's resurrected, but his disciples don't know yet that he's resurrected. Mary's seen him. Mary Magdalene has seen him, and she's come back and told them, and they're finding this hard to believe. But anyway, we're in John chapter 20, verse 19, and here's what's happening. This is on the Sunday, the resurrection Sunday, on the evening of that first day of the week. So Jesus resurrected in the morning, but they don't believe it yet. When the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. So this is not some big, triumphal, bold, courageous group of people. They're huddled in the room. The door is locked. They're afraid people are going to come and get them, just like they came and got Jesus. The door's locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. They were hugely overjoyed. This one who we followed, who was dead, who we saw so dead, is now alive. He's standing right among us. We see the nail prints in his hands and the spear print from his side. Overjoyed. And again, Jesus said, verse 21, "Peace be with you." So he gives them a double peace here. "As the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He breathes on them. "Receive the Holy Spirit, and if you forgive anyone his sins, they're forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven." Wow. Jesus comes to them and he gives them a double peace. Peace, if you just see somebody, maybe say, "Hey, peace, brother." It's just kind of a greeting. It could be a greeting, but it's like way more than that here. Because this group of people, they're all afraid. They're kind of locked up in this room. They're afraid to do anything. And Jesus comes and says to them in Hebrew, "Shalom. The peace of God be upon you." Shalom means health, spiritual health, well-being. All will be well. There's a harmony. This is what's good is happening here. There's a harmony. Peace upon you. And the first peace that he gives them is the peace of knowing that the one who was dead is now alive. So he shows them his hands and his and his side, there is an incredible peace. If you asked me, what do you love about Jesus? I'd say, you know, one of the big things is peace in my heart in the midst of a troubled world and all kinds of things that are broken. There's a settled peace in here that I know Jesus died for my sins, that he rose again with great power, and that he's living in me and living around me. There's just a peace about that. I mean, a lot of things go wrong, right? Is this true? A lot of things go wrong, but there's a peace that Jesus is alive, and he's well, and he's powerful, and he's at work. That's wonderful. So the first peace that Jesus gives is this peace. Peace be with you. I'm alive. I'm well. It's okay. It's going to be all right. I'm here. And the second peace he gives them, I'll just read it again. Again, Jesus said, verse 21, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. The second statement of peace, of the shalom of God upon his people, is that as the Father sent Jesus into the world, now Jesus says, okay, I'm sending you. I'm sending you out into the world too to be my ambassadors. You're my representatives in the world. You represent me. You carry my name out into the world. And I'm sending you. And you're going to need the Holy Spirit for this. And so he breathes on them. And he says, peace as you go. Because you can't do this on your own. If you try it on your own, it's not going to work. But the peace of Christ goes with us because sometimes we're nervous when we think we're representatives of Jesus in the world, right? So, I have asked a young woman by the name of Daniela to come and to share with us what it means to her to be a sent person out into the world. So, Daniela, we got the red one here for you. So, would you share this with us, please?
Good morning. Can you hear me? So Pastor Doug asked me to share some of what God has been teaching me. And so I just finished second year at Word of Life in New York. And there's so much that God has taught me. But the last week of class, we were in the book of 1 John. And John is the author of 1 John. And he says over and over, he confirms the faith that he knows that his listeners have. And it was so encouraging because every day we just got to talk about the gospel. And my roommate and I would talk about it over meals and in the dorm too. And it was so encouraging that this God who is so big and wonderful and has crazy amounts of love, why would he, like, I do not understand why he would ever want to have a relationship with us, but he does. But the problem is that our sin is such a big deal because it is offense against a holy God, so we can't be with him. No matter how hard we try, no matter how many good things we do or what we say or any of this stuff, there's nothing that we can do to make this relationship with God right. But because of God's amazing, never-ending love, he sent his son Jesus to make the relationship right. And he took our death punishment on the cross when he died and rose again. And now we can have a relationship with God, and this is so encouraging and so exciting, and it's open to anyone who would just believe. And so it was really great to be able to talk about that and to be encouraged. And this is the best news ever. Like, better than anything that anyone has ever told you in your life, that is the best news. And God has asked us to share that news with others. Not only has he invited us to have a relationship with God, but now he's inviting us in on his marching orders to invite other people to have a relationship with God. And that is really exciting and the best thing that we can ever commit our life to. So I find that it's really easy to talk about the gospel and what God has done when it's expected, like in a church setting or on a missions trip. But God has been teaching me that this needs to be something that I talk about all the time. And I have two stories to illustrate that. The first one is when I went to Hungary. I went to Hungary at the beginning of May, and we were doing open-air evangelism. And if you know anything about me, you know that I love working with kids. So open air is really scary and definitely out of my comfort zone. So I'm with a small group of girls and we're walking the streets of Budapest and I'm looking for opportunities. So I see this girl over there and she's on her phone and I'm like, okay, probably won't talk to her. She seems busy. But there's this girl over here on a bench, so maybe I can go talk to her. I don't know. And I'm praying for an opportunity and very much out of my comfort zone. And God in his kindness gives me a 13-year-old girl, so kind of more on the kid end. And I talk with her. About 10 minutes into the conversation, I ask where she wants to go in the world, and she says that she wants to go to New York City. And I'm like, ah, that's ironic, because I was there in January. And she said she wanted to see the buildings of New York City, so I pull out my phone, and I'm trying to find a random picture of a building really quick, and God puts a picture of a church that I took in New York City. We didn't even go in this church. I don't even remember where it was. But God put it on my phone, and that was the link into the gospel. So I asked her, do you go to church? What does your church tell you? And then I listened, and then I asked if I could tell her what my church had taught me about God. And so then I'm walking my way through the gospel, and I'm getting near the end, and it's totally a God thing. And then I'm like, okay, God, what do I do? I'm like, I've shared about Jesus' death and resurrection and sin and all this stuff, and now I'm at the end, and he's like, well, ask her to make a decision. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's really bold. So I did not have the boldness in that moment to do so. And so you learn from each opportunity. But what I did ask is if she had any questions or if she understood. English was her second language, so I think she understood everything that I was saying, but I don't know if she could exactly express everything back. But God can do whatever he wants with the power of his word. And I gave her a bracelet, and I told her, when you see this, remember God loves you, and remember me, and remember that he wants a relationship with you. And so I was praising God because that whole thing was a total God thing, and it was beautiful, and it was just totally a God thing. And he's been showing me that that kind of conversation doesn't have to just happen in another country. It can happen here. Which leads me to my second story. So I really wanted Chick-fil-A, and my friends and I, we went to Chick-fil-A, and I thought, okay, we're just gonna go eat, and then we're gonna come back, and it's no big deal. We're gonna have a ball. And but we're ordering in Chick-fil-A, and my friend asked the girl behind him, hey, how far is it to the nearest big city? And I don't know how he did it, but he led that conversation in a way where by the end of it, he asked how he could pray for her. I don't know how he did that, but he did it. And it was really powerful to me because God showed me that that even if, like, some conversations that we have with people are, like, full gospel conversations, and other conversations are, like, just, like, plant a rock in their shoe and ask them a question or get them to think about why they believe what they believe, or maybe there's another way that we can think about that. And his boldness, too. Like, we were just getting food. How often am I out around doing errands, and I'm like, okay, I got to get my list done. And God's like, no, slow down. Who are the people that are around you? I was doing it in Hungary. I saw the girl on the bench who was sitting by herself. Like, there are people all like that here, too. Am I willing to not get everything that I want to get done today done so that I can interact with the people that God has clearly placed right before me? And this is this whole thing is like, God's been teaching me is like a mindset. So sometimes God puts opportunities in my lap that are like obvious. Like if I don't take it, like, oh my gosh, like this is clearly from the Lord. And then there are other times where opportunities happen where I need to not be pushy or like shoving it down their throat or anything, but I need to ask good questions and kind of lead the conversation to spiritual truths and stuff like that. So that's something that God has been really clearly teaching me. And so he's been showing me my role in this. And then another thing that he's been showing me is that he has a massive role in this as well. And there's no way that we can do this without his help, without the help of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to ask for his help. And my roommate taught me this acronym that I've been praying. It's called LOBSS, LOBSSS. So we need to pray for laborers, that God will send more people out to share the gospel, specifically missionaries, and us as well. O is for opportunities. Pray for opportunities to share the gospel. B is for boldness. Oh, dear Jesus, please give me boldness. S is for safety as we share the gospel. And then the next S is for success as we share the gospel. And the last one is salvation. And I think, how often do I pray for salvation? That that they will believe in Jesus, which is the best decision that they can ever make and is the best news that we could ever share. And that's the whole point of why God has asked us to do this. So, yeah, that's some of what God has been teaching me.
Thank you. Thanks, Daniela. We're not all the same, are we? We're not all the same. Daniela's quite excited, which is a lovely thing. Some of us are more gifted in this area and more natural in this area. So I have a friend who's, as this is on his mind all the time, every time he's almost everywhere, at least that I've been with him, he's always trying to talk to people about Jesus. There was one time I was golfing with him. I may have told you this story before. And a kid came up to us. We're just at the number one tee. A kid came up to us with a bunch of eggs like this. He opened the thing up, and they weren't eggs at all. They were golf balls. So he said, excuse me, do you want to buy some golf balls, used golf balls? My friend looked at him. He said, oh, well, where'd you get those? He said, well, they were out in the woods. He said, you mean they were lost? He said, yeah, well, people lost them, and they were out in the woods. He said, well, what did you do? Well, I went looking for them. He said, you went searching for lost things? He said, yeah, I did. He said, what'd you do then? Well, I found them, he said. And my friend said, well, after you found it, what'd you do? He said, well, I put it in the ball washer, and I washed it, cleaned it up. He said, what'd you do that for? Well, because I wanted to, like, make them usable again, make them useful again. And my friend said, you know, it's amazing. What you did for those golf balls was exactly what Jesus did for me. And the kid's eyes got really big, you know? And my friend said, yeah, you know what? I was lost. And God came looking for me. Jesus came looking for me. And he found me. And after he found me, he cleaned me up so I could be useful again. What do you think of that? And the kid looked at him and said, I don't know, you want to buy some golf balls? We don't all have that gift, do we? We don't really. But our purpose over these last weeks has been to read this book, even as we read this book, this message from the Lord Jesus, and as we do this, to find some ways that we can relate in interesting ways to the people around us, so we have opportunities to share the good news of Jesus with people, to alert them to the fact that there really is a God, and he's alive in us, and to alert them to the fact that we are his ambassadors in this world. And as we do this, we've been challenged to bless other people, just to be people who, in our natural course of the day, we're just blessing people somehow or other, and then to actually spend some time eating with people. Because when you're sitting around a table and you're eating and so on, you get into chatting and so on. Ruth and I have done this sometimes with some of our neighbors in our neighborhood. And it's amazing when you're just sitting around and eating and so on, you just have a little chat, how often some idea about faith or about some reason, for example, one of my neighbors saying, oh, you know, when the priests started messing around with boys in the church, that's when I quit on religion. And I think we said something like, well, you know what? I gave up on religion too. But for me, knowing Jesus in a personal way, that's not religion. A relationship with God to be forgiven and you know, that's a different thing. I'm totally with you. I give up on that kind of stuff too. Anyway, to bless people, to eat with people, to really listen to the Holy Spirit. We were challenged last week on this. To really pause, spend time listening to the Holy Spirit and listening to other people who speak to us the truth of God. And then learning Jesus. It's the acronym is BELLS, if you're reading this book. Bless others, B. Eat with others, E. The LL are listen to the Holy Spirit and to others. The second L is to learn Jesus, to spend time just meditating on Jesus and his word, and just seeing what it's like and what he is. And I recommended at that time this little video called The Chosen. This is a wonderful thing. It elaborates on some of the stories of Jesus' life that really are very, very helpful. And that's the L about learning Jesus. And this last week, then, is about being sent. We are sent people out into the world. And just as Daniela was sent over to Hungary, or, you know, the idea of being sent to Chick-fil-A, we wouldn't think of that, would we? But to think everywhere I am, I'm a representative of Jesus out here in the world. Now, if you're reading the book, you'll see that there are various ways. It's not just always talking about Jesus, but it's relating to people in particular ways that cause them to be curious, that give us an opportunity to speak about Jesus and the faith that we have. For example, and this week you'll notice that there's a challenge to keep a diary, or I guess we call it a diary. So, or a journal. So this is my journal. I got this when I was over in Africa from a pastor there who wanted me to have a book of his. But anyway, it's just a little journal. So I've begun this week again. I used to journal every day, almost every day, for years and years and years, and I've stopped for a bit. And I've been challenged personally in the reading of this book to start again, to write down, where have I seen God at work today? How did God prompt me today? What are the things I'm learning? Where did I fail? That just keeping a quick journal at the end of the day is really a very, very helpful thing. Where have I seen the Lord? And actually, next week, next Sunday, a part of our service is going to be asking you, where have you seen the Lord at work over this last little while? Perhaps where have you tried to bless somebody, and how did it go? Or where have you taken time to eat with somebody, either Christian or non-Christian, and how did it go? Has it strengthened your fellowship in the church? And has it given you an opportunity to share Jesus or your life with someone else? So next week we're going to be sharing some of these stories. I hope you have a story, and I hope you have some kind of a little example of how you've seen God at work over the last little while. So, how do we make people curious about the Lord? A couple of things very quickly. One is, whenever we're involved in reconciliation and forgiveness, we're doing the work of God in the world. Whenever at work or at school or in the neighborhood or in our families, there's some kind of a rift and we're involved in reconciliation and forgiveness, this is God's work. And it's really, really important. If we're involved in reconciliation between ethnic groups, that's important. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called the children of God." So, journal. How have I been involved in forgiveness and reconciliation? Secondly, are the justice issues in the world. These are really important to God, that justice be done. So in the history of Christianity, some of the major leaders of Christianity have been involved in justice issues, caring for the poor, reconciling between people groups. If you know anything about George Mueller, he was a guy who had a passion for orphans, and he started up orphanages. The guy didn't have a fundraising plan, but God kept providing for him. He was doing part of the justice heart of God as he was caring for for those who were orphans. So there's a group just now called CAP, Christians Against Poverty. Maybe you're a Christian who's for poverty. I don't think so. But Christians Against Poverty is this group that are helping people who are pressured by debt and helping them get out of debt, helping them have patterns of life that can establish a better financial pattern. And as they're doing this, they're telling them about Jesus and Jesus' reconciliation. Christians Against Poverty. Ruth and I love this group. That's a justice issue, right? Helping the poor. There's also, thirdly, the beauty of creation. When we alert people to the grandeur of the mountains or the beauty of the Great Lakes or whatever it is around us, and we're sharing that with people, something about the grandeur of God. And I remember the story of a friend who took somebody to one of the Great Lakes, took a person who wasn't a Christian, and they were there, they did a hike, they had a picnic and that kind of thing. They were looking out at the grandness of, I'm not sure which lake it was, let's say Lake Huron, and just saying, just when you're here, doesn't that make you feel kind of small? Like, makes me feel small. Like, maybe there's something way, way bigger. Like, part of God's creation, eh? And he's so much bigger than we are. Just alerting people to the reality of God. We are ambassadors. And just to wrap this up, I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for a minute. Jesus, he just loves people so much and wants people to come into his family, wants people to know, as Tyler said, the love of God, the forgiveness of God, and the hope for a future. I love the way you put that. Love, forgiveness, and hope for the future. And so here we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that I'm going to pick it up at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Yeah, God's done something in us. We're not what we used to be. We're not perfect, but we're not what we used to be. Something new has come. We're sent out into the world. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Oh, this is our ministry as we go out into the world. We're to be reconcilers with people and urging people to be reconciled to God. Verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Jesus Christ, not counting men's sins against them. That's amazing. That there, in this season, God is not counting men's sins against them. He's just urging us to turn to him for his forgiveness and start to follow Jesus. It's amazing. Not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. We're ambassadors. I was thinking about being an ambassador, and I was thinking about if I were the ambassador of Canada in some foreign land, and somebody asked me, so are you, what are you doing here? Oh, well, I'm an ambassador for my country. So what country is it? Well, you know, I don't want to say the name. It's just the other side of the world over there. Yeah, but what country? Well, I don't want to actually say the name. But that's ridiculous. Yet I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And sometimes I'm reluctant to say the name of Jesus in a conversation. And I'm asking the Lord for more boldness and courage and love to be able to be like Jesus out in my world. And that brings us to the very last verse of this 2 Corinthians 5. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, in Jesus Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. Is that what it says? God made him who had no sin. Now, who would that be, by the way? Not a one of us here without sin. God made Jesus, who had no sin, the only person who ever had no sin, God made Jesus to be sin for us. What is that? When Jesus hung on the cross, he took the sin, the shame, the suffering, all of that upon himself at that time. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God, saturated in the sins of the world, absorbed them all upon himself. He became sin for us. For us. Why? So that in him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. What a miracle this is. Our sins go over to Jesus on the cross, and he pays the penalty for it. And his righteousness comes over to us. What a miracle. And we become this new creation, these ambassadors of the Lord Jesus in our world, wanting to honor him in all the stuff we do and in the way we talk and behave and live in all things. This brings us then to our celebration of this Jesus. It brings us to our time of communion with Jesus. I hope you got one of these little... Did you get one of those little packages there? These deals. If you didn't, just raise your hand, okay? Someone would bring it to you right now, okay? Right here in the middle. Anybody else? These little packages that we use for our communion, you can just rip the top off right now, if you would. We're a sent people because Jesus is sending us. As the Father sent Jesus into this world to give his life for us, so Jesus sends us out into the world for us to give our lives in service and in love to other people and share the good news of Jesus with them. What a high calling. What a high, high calling this is. And on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. It was the night he was betrayed. He washed the feet of Judas, who was going to go out and just betray him right away. He knew all of this. He was under no illusion of the perfection of humanity. He understood totally the sinful heart of men and women. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you." When Jesus' body was broken, he had taken the sins of the world upon himself. He suffered that death so that we could be forgiven. And today, we take this bread and we examine ourselves and we say, "Lord Jesus, I am not worthy to eat the crumbs that fall from your table. So I come to you for your grace and your forgiveness. I give my life to you afresh. I celebrate what you have done on the cross, giving your body broken for us for the forgiveness of our sins. And you declare us righteous so that we might become the righteousness of God. We celebrate you, we thank you, we are humbled, we are in awe of you, and we love you, Lord Jesus, as we eat this bread in your name. Amen." And then if you would take the juice, we remember again that Jesus took the cup and he said, "This blood is the new covenant in my blood." His blood was shed for us. The scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. But praise God, Jesus shed his blood for us so our sins can be forgiven. So Lord Jesus, as we hold this cup today, we thank you that you willingly, deliberately went to that cross to shed your blood for us so we could be forgiven of all of our sins and find the new life, eternal kind of life, living within us through your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we worship you, we thank you, we're humbled, we're in awe of you, and we love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for giving your life's blood for us that we can live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.